4, chapter 1, 3 to 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of ministry for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, the maturity, to the measure of all the full stature of Christ, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Matthew chapter 29, verse 16 to 20. The commissioning of the disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Thank you, Jess. Good morning, everyone. Oh, you're a bit sleepy this morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Adam.
There we go, it's better. So today, we're going to be looking at Ephesians, which is carrying on the sermon series that we're looking into. Today is going to be a bit of a challenging talk. I make no apology about that. As I'm saying it to you, I'm also saying it to myself. And then afterwards, we're going to split up into small groups, if that's okay. And so instead of me talking for a long time, which I'm sure you don't want, you're going to be doing some stuff as well, okay? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just ask that you just come into our lives right now and fill us afresh this morning. Father, blow the cobwebs away. Give us the energy that we need, and may our hearts, eyes and ears be open to what you are saying this morning. Holy Spirit, come. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So in the last three chapters, Paul is unfolding the purpose God has for us. It is because of Jesus and his death and resurrection that God has been and is creating something completely new. Not just a new eternal life for individuals, but also a new society. Paul sees his vision being worked out through a broken and foreign humanity being reconciled and united. A newly created humanity. It's a beautiful vision, one that as a church, a gathered people, us here right now, are living in that reality. That we are a new creation. Both in eternal life, we will through Jesus, but also as us as gathered people here today. So today, we're going to remind ourselves of this vocation God has called us into. A vocation I think the church as a whole has forgotten. Paul starts by pleading with the reader, the listener. He says, I beg you, lead a life worthy of calling to which you have been called. And so today, we need to understand what this vocation is. What does it mean to be a body of Christ? And so today's theme is a united people sent out. So before you and I were Christians, we were complete foreigners to each other. We were sinners bound to death, but when Jesus walked into yours and mine life, everything changed. We go from a life that is self-centered and self-serving to a life that serves others. We go from a life that is sinful to a life being saved from death, and we are sinless no more in God's sight. We are given eternal life through and only through Jesus. And it is through Jesus that we are made in the body of Christ, the whole church. We were once foreigners, but we are now brothers and sisters, whom we can call a family. And Jesus is the head of our household. He is the head of this family in this room. In verse 2, Paul reminds us of this family, on how we are to conduct ourselves at all times. 1, to have humility and be humble. Admit when we get things wrong. Be gentle with others when they also get things wrong. 2, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love for them. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching on what it means to love your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and that's called the Shema. It was a Jewish custom where they would daily in the temple make a daily confession to God. And so Jesus spoke about the two commandments, which was love your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and also to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So Jesus was bringing together, renewing this Shema, this daily confession. And in that, the two cannot be separated. You can't love God if you do not love your brother and sister. The two cannot be separated. And 3, Paul goes on to say, every effort to keep united for the sake of peace. Paul reminds us, God has been chosen us to be Christ's representatives on earth. That's a big statement to make, so I'm going to let that sink in again. God has chosen us in this room to be Christ's representatives on earth. Paul challenges us to live a life worthy enough of this calling. People outside of this church are watching you and me. So I'm going to ask us all this question. Can they see Christ in you? And how well are you doing as his representing Christ? Paul then moves on to a mini creed, a statement of faith, if you like, in verse 4 to 6. There is one body, one spirit, called, and we are called into that vocation of hope through Jesus. Paul explains this. There is one Lord Jesus, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. Paul has spelled it out very, very clearly. It is Jesus and through Jesus that we are called into this family here. It is Jesus who has called us into the body of Christ, his church, because we all have one baptism that is in the same baptism that Jesus received. So, when disputes happen, because they do happen amongst us, when we argue, when we split, it's not for us to say to each other or to the other to leave. Because of our one baptism and one faith, we are united through Jesus. And nothing can change this, or separate us from God. Paul moves on to empowering of the church, and it is because of Jesus' generosity that a special gift has been given, a special gift that has been given to you in this room. And it is because of Jesus' generosity that this special gift has been given. That this is because Jesus has decided to leave his Holy Spirit on earth with us. That same Holy Spirit living in each and one of you in this room. And he left his Holy Spirit here with us. So Paul unfolds the meaning of such gifts, and as Christians we call them, particularly in this verse, the fivefold ministry. And so that's the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now the New Testament talks about a number of other gifts as well, of which I'm not going to go into any of them right now because you could do a really long sermon series on them, and I don't want to exclude anyone's gifting. But all of us have gifts in this room. Whether it's Brian and Peter who help look after this building, whether it's Ruth with the children, whether it's Mike and Sue who play instruments for us, all of us have different gifts and abilities that God has given us in this room. And that there is no one else in your room, in this room, who can play the piano how Sue plays the piano. Everyone has a different gift, and everyone's gift is different. And there's a reason for that, and that is to build up this church. And it is this body in this room that Jesus is the head of. And each believer, each member in Christ has been given this special gift Doesn't matter if it's small or if it's a large part. All is equal, but it's yours to use in God's service. This church cannot function if we think that me and Paul are to do everything. Because that is not how God or Jesus intended for the body of Christ to be. And with these special gifts, this is one thing really to hold on to. With these special gifts, Jesus has given these gifts to us to use. He has done so with his blessing and his authority. In our reading in the, from the Gospel, Matthew 28, Jesus is commissioning of his disciples. I'm going to break this down for us. One, Jesus has chosen his disciples. He also chooses every single one of you. Now you might think, Adam, I wouldn't even choose myself. But you're not seeing it through his eyes. He chooses every single one of you. Number two, the disciples doubted. We all have doubts, every single one of us. And yet the disciples still worshipped and obeyed God, and so do we. Three, Jesus sent the disciples by using the word go. He didn't say, I would like you to go and spread the gospel throughout the whole world, have a rest for 5 years, maybe go on a holiday to Barbados. And when you're rested, then go. No, he said, go. You don't need any qualifications. You don't need any special knowledge to be members of the body of Christ, to use the gifting that God has given each and every single one of you. He has said, go. Because there are certain circumstances that you as an individual have gone through in your life. And that will allow you to speak to someone in a very special way that no one else can. Number four, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, which is the same baptism we have received. And all are to be baptized into. There's not one baptism that's different. We are baptized into the same one baptism. And that is through Jesus. Number five, teach them everything Jesus has taught us. So we are to pass on the faith that we have received. And number six, Jesus is always living with you. He is living in you. The God that was once separated from us is living in you. He is guiding you, helping you, and he is the reason for our sending out. So coming into land, I'm going to say this. Unity is to be sought after. That's key. We are also to love one another, for we are all baptized into the one same baptism as Jesus received. Jesus is the head of the body. No one can stop that from happening. Good luck to you. And we are all Jesus' representatives. And we are all being given gifts from Jesus who sends us out to use them. And for us all to have them and to use them, but not to hide them. So I've got three questions that I want you to go away and think on, and it is this. The first one is unity. Is there someone in this church or another you have fallen out with, had a disagreement, and if so, go and make peace with them. Talk it out and love each other. The second one, gifts. If you don't know what your gift is, perhaps I'd encourage you to go and speak to your life group leader to help you discover it by praying with you and listen. I think when you do that, it's really important you don't do that on an individual basis. You do it as a group of people, because discernment is done in a group of people, not on an individual basis. That's a really key thing to do, because otherwise we could sometimes step into our own echo chambers and it will lead you into places. Or you can come and speak to Paul and I, and we can point you in the right direction and journey with you in that. And so finally, the church, all of us in here, we've all been given gifts. All of us have been given gifts. And most of them I did not list today. But God has given you a special gift. And he has sent you with his blessing and authority to use it. So what's holding you back? Because he said, go. And so, as a bit of a change of plan, I'm going to pray, and then after we pray, if we can get into twos, threes, fours, whatever groups you like, and very quickly, just say whatever is on your mind and pray. And then how you kind of spend this time is up to you, and you will use your own individual gifts without you realizing in the conversation and in praying with one another. And then when we leave from here, think about some of the stuff that I have said and use them gifts. Because some of the gifts in this room support the functioning of the discipleship and the nurturing and the pastorship of all of us in this room. There are some gifts that people have in this room that are to build up God's church in by bringing people in into the church. And when I talk about church, I don't mean this building, I mean us as a family of people. Because at the end of the day, we who are in this room are saved. But there's a lot of people out of this room who do not know Jesus yet. So that's my challenge for you to think about today. There's quite a lot there. So what I'm going to pray, and then we're going to split up into groups. Is that okay? Great. Holy Spirit, I ask for your love and your grace and your peace to come and fill our hearts. Be with us in our prayer and in our time of talking to one another. And as we go from here today. In your name, Jesus. Amen.